Fear. Fear often keeps us from reaching our full potential. Fear hinders us from discerning God's will for our life. Fear is often the root of many problems, anxieties, and sufferings in our lives. Our youth often make poor choices out of fear. Fear of not fitting in. It's called peer pressure. We adults, on the other hand, make poor choices with expensive toys we buy, like expensive cars, or having the biggest flat-screen TV, or the latest and greatest cell phone, in fear of perhaps having a lesser image than the guy next door. We call that keeping up with the Joneses. We have some TV evangelists that say suddenly, without a warning, millions upon millions of people worldwide will vanish, and you might be left behind if you do not confess Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, and don't send your 10% tithe to the address at the bottom of the screen. This is called the rapture syndrome. Brothers and sisters, if we are forced to do something out of fear, without truly deep within our hearts wanting to do so, it'll never last, because we would be doing it for the wrong reasons. I guess it was about 10 or 15 years ago, at that time, Monsignor Louis Pavlicek was a pastor here at St. Helens. In one of his homilies, it stuck with me all these years. He told a story about a king, and his people feared him. I want to make it clear, because some of us still know Father Louis. I didn't say Father Louis. We feared Father Louis. We feared the king. But one day, the king found out that he was deathly ill, and the doctor told him his heart was weak, and if he wanted to live, he needed a new heart. The king was worried because his son was very young, and if he should die, another family might take over the family's reign. He thought to himself, what can I do? Then he came up with a plan. What he would do is gather all the townspeople together, and he would ask them if anyone would sacrifice their heart so the king could live. The next day, he had all the people in the town gathered before him, and from his balcony, he said, I'm very ill. I need a heart transplant. Who will be willing to die for the king and give me that heart? Everyone in the whole crowd began to cry out of fear. I will. Pick me. It seemed as if there were so many willing to give their heart to the king just didn't know how to choose. So the king came up with this idea. He would toss down a feather, and whoever it landed on would be the one. So he threw down the feather, and it gently got guided over these people, and everyone was looking up with anticipation. And each time that feather would just about land on someone, the person would say, long live the king. Brothers and sisters, in our gospel story, we find Joseph, a good man, a just man, an ordinary sort of man, who God relied on to do great things. Think about the fear Joseph encountered, the fear of his wife pregnant, and he knew he wasn't the father. The fear for Mary, the woman he loved. If word got out, she could be shamed and perhaps even stoned to death. The fear and humiliation he felt when then came those words of comfort, do not be afraid. Those same unique words were sent through God's unique messengers throughout the first Advent. The angel Gabriel spoke to Zechariah and Mary, and the angel spoke of the Lord to the shepherds using those same words, do not be afraid. Brothers and sisters, with only a few days left of Advent, we must be reminded Advent is a season of listening. Listening with the inner ear of the heart. Do not be afraid is a constant and consistent message for the people that were present at that first Advent. Those words are a message of comfort and hope from the Heavenly Father, assuring us that all He has for us is thoughts of peace and goodwill for us. This is the message we need to listen for during this season of Advent and throughout the Christmas season. We often have this misunderstanding that God the Father has this judgmental relationship with us, and we're just one step away from receiving punishment from Him. Our fear is often rooted in the self-awareness of our soul's neglected condition and our everyday failure of living up to God's expectations. And as with any relationship, if we try to build a relationship with God with this type of fear, it never lasts. It is amazing that those words, "do not be afraid," could easily be translated as "trust in me." We should trust that God, our loving Father, is with us in every situation, no matter what the situation is. We have to trust that there is a promise unfolding. Sometimes we're caught in a dark situation, like the Israelite people were in that first reading. Ahaz was in a dark time in his life. He had all kinds of people trying to take over his kingdom. Today, we can possibly identify a dark time in our life, perhaps a broken relationship or a death of a loved one, or it could be a financial issue. It might even be facing a fault or imperfection in our own self. Sometimes there's this kind of fear and anxiety that comes raging in. As Isaiah tells Ahaz, trust. And it is precisely this trustful waiting attitude that we need to keep us from succumbing to the challenges in our lives. In our second reading, Paul says we're all called to be holy. And in that holiness, we must not only listen to God, but respond by surrender. In other words, trust. The word that keeps coming to mind just a few days before celebrating the birth of our Savior, Emmanuel, God is with us. And we need to remember we're not alone. God is with us. Brothers and sisters, out of fear, we can't blow that feather away. We have to grab it like Joseph did. And then we need to trust. St. John of the Cross tells us, fear is the absence of love. May we each listen, hear, and respond to the Father's words this holy season.